Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Inspire small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for joining me today. It's my pleasure, as always, to have you join us. And if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've already been listening, that means you're a highly intelligent individual. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Just spell it all out there, and that'll take you to the place where you can find some really good resources, some really important things that I think will help you to have the maximum opportunity to be successful, including our newsletter, which comes by email every Sunday afternoon, get you ready for the week ahead, our blog, which you can come get every day, or we'll send it to you really using the RSS technology, which you can also get at our website for free. And you can check out all the other things, the articles, the archives, and just use it to your advantage. And thank you to all of you who've been doing that over the years and who have been telling us that you have been and how much it helps you. And I appreciate that very much. If you have been on my site, then you've been listening to this show for very long, you know that we have a great friend and a guy named Doug Stives. Doug is the resident CPA of our Brain Trust. He's the senior partner with the Kirchen Company. And if you ever seen a CPA on television representing the industry, is probably the handsome face of this guy, Doug Stives. Doug, welcome back to the show.
No, you've got it wrong. I'm the funny-looking guy.
I've seen you on television. I know what you look like.
Well, you know, it's been proven that people remember ugly faces better than good-looking faces, and that's why you remember me.
Well, that's what helps me, too. It helps people to – it makes me more memorable, or there's some reason that I'm more memorable. I'm not sure why. Doug
– I won't go there.
One of the things that I – as you know, that I – that I really recommend folks. And I think maybe that's one of the reasons why you like me, is because I always encourage people to make sure that they have a CPA firm in their life, in the life of their business. And what I'd like for you to do now is, you know, as you know, a lot of people go through their entire career as a business owner, and maybe they hire a CPA once or twice. It's not like buying shoes or socks. You almost never do it. So I'd like for you to help us make sure that when we do it the right way. What's your advice?
Well, you need to know who you're dealing with, and that's true in any business. And I think most people listening at this point are business owners, and I enjoyed your last half hour when you were talking about personal service, and today that is the exception. So, you know, first off, if you're right now in the very busiest of tax season, you've got a CPA, but you can't get a hold of him or her, that's not a good sign. That means that you're down the feeding list somewhere.
Well, of course, if you're the kind of a client that he only hears from or she only hears from once a year, you can't really blame him too much.
No, well, you have to fix that, too. What I plead with my clients to do, particularly my business clients, is come and see us a couple of times during the year. So at this point, there are no surprises. All we need to do really is get the information from you and get it cranked onto forms.
Right, exactly. Well, a lot of times, small business owners, you know, the CPA is a necessary. They think of it as a necessary end, mostly at tax season. They don't get them involved in the financial management of their business, which I think is a mistake.
Well, you say you can go ahead and say necessary evil, and I know that's the way some people
I'm not going to say necessary evil. No, I'm telling you, I think a good CPA firm could be the key to your success. A CPA firm that does not get that does not try to be a little more. I'd like to see CPA firms be a little more assertive on themselves. I mean themselves. I'd like for a CPA firm to be a little more aggressive with their marketing tactics once somebody has contacted them. What do you think about that?
I completely agree, and you know, just a case in point. One thing I love to tease people about, and CPAs are at the top of the list, is you call somebody this morning, say, I've been referred to this particular firm, let's call them and see if they can give us an appointment, whatever, and you get a machine that says, thank you for calling, and I love this irony, your call is very important to us.
Mm-hmm.
But then it should say, but we're too cheap to hire a receptionist.
When I call your office, I get Don every time.
Well, I hope so. We pay her pretty well, and that's her job. But
well,
the point is, You need to be able to contact somebody throughout the year, and if you don't get somebody on the first call this week, hey, have a little mercy for us. We are busy. But if you don't hear from the person for a couple of weeks, you've got a serious problem.
Is a accounting firm sort of like a legal firm in that they could tend to specialize a little bit? For example, sometimes I've referred dozens and dozens and dozens of people over the years to CPA firms, and I whenever someone asks me about that, I every time I say, well, tell me a little bit about what you want to have done, tell me about your business, and then I think I know enough about the accounting firms that I know to know who to recommend them to.
Well, I think I can answer that real quickly.
I'm going to let you do it on the other side of these messages. Right back, we'll be right back with our good friend Doug Stives with the important answer to my incredibly important question. Tony Till, stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out. Don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter and my blog if you want. You can come get the blog or we'll send it to you. Either way, and all the other things, including my books, you can find both of my books there. Those are the only things we'll charge you for. Everything else is free. Doug Stives is all over our website. It has been now for going on. We're in our eighth year working with Doug. He's our top CPA in the Brain Trust and the senior partner with Kirch & Company out of beautiful downtown Red Bank, New Jersey. And give us that website, Doug.
It's Kirchin, Kirchin.com. Kirchin.com.
Doug, I asked a question about do CPA firms specialize. Is a CPA firm more likely to be small business friendly, one maybe over another one? Is this firm more likely to be big business centric, and or are CPA firms, do they have people who specialize in some with big companies, some with little companies?
The answer is yes, Jim, but I think more than big or large, it's along industry lines.
Okay. And
for example, at the Kirchin Group, we specialize in lots of specific areas, but one being construction companies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've got a couple of huge construction companies, one that's the second largest in our state. But then we've got the other extreme where, we got a sole proprietor who works out of the back of a truck and has his office in his home. But the point is, we understand construction accounting. And my general answer to your question is, don't be a guinea pig. When you're looking for a CPA, a new CPA or a first-time CPA, you'll say, well, gee, I'm a physician. How many other physicians do you do?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I encourage people to go so far as, can I get some of those names? Now, I won't give out a list of my clients, but I always have a couple people in each industry who have given me permission up front to, yeah, sure, Doug, tell a prospective client to call me, and I'm telling them, what a horse's tail you are or whatever. and we joke about it, but all of our information, including our client list, is highly confidential. But
in terms of small business, I think most small businesses don't need help so much with the industry accounting as much as they do just need help with the financial planning, the financial management.
Well, we think you can't do one without the other. I mean, one of the things that aggravates us at this time of year is people will come in and tell us, well, we wanted to do our tax return, but we've got a financial planner. Well, it really should be the same person, in my opinion.
Now, when I say financial planning, I didn't say financial planning. I said financial management. Planning, I think that's another discipline, and I obviously the CPA can be that person. But I mean just in the financial perspective of the business, not just reacting to the financial part, but being proactive to the financial
right.
part.
Right. Well, for 90% of our clients, which are small businesses, we are their financial manager. They typically have no one internally who really has much in the way of financial skills. And if they do, we work closely with those people.
I wish CPA firms, when they get introduced to a small business, I wish they would say something like this. I wish they would be more salespeople than they really are. I wish they would say, If you fail, if your business fails, one of the main reasons will be because you don't do a good job of managing your finances, the financial part of your business. And what we do in our company is we specialize, no guarantees, but we specialize in helping small businesses, or we help small businesses make sure that they have the maximum opportunity to be successful with the financial part of their business. Would you like for my company to help you with that?
Well, I've got.
I've never heard a CPA say that.
Lots of case studies would back that up, and I agree with you in both directions. You're right. We usually do not bring that up, and we should. I will tell you a little bit sarcastically, but the reason that most of small businesses fail that we've seen is because they're undercapitalized. Not because they had a bad idea, not because they didn't work hard, but they went into this thing without a business plan, had no idea how long it would take to start making money, and just simply ran out of money.
But, Doug, you and I both know that there are plenty of undercapitalized businesses. Well, as you may or may not know, the first law of small business, the Blasingame's first law of small business, is redundant to say undercapitalized small business. All small businesses are undercapitalized, and yet many of them succeed, and the ones who succeed are the ones who squeeze a nickel out of every penny of capital they got.
Well, except if they spend too much time doing that, then they can't sell their product. So, you know, we try to keep them the opposite of undercapitalized. Have a cash flow that's going to keep them, so they don't have to worry about how they're going to pay their bills.
But you're singing my song. You're singing exactly what I'm talking about. But
right.
without your help, they don't know how to do that.
We both agree.
They don't know how to do that, and so that's the reason why I wish CPAs would be more assertive, more marketers than they really are. And I'd like to encourage you to tell your brethren and sistren to do that for me. Okay, let's change horses and talk about some specifics. Alternative minimum tax, is it getting ugly this year?
Worse than ever, Jim, because just a lot of people know this already, but the alternative minimum tax rates have not changed since 1986, back when you and I were in, what, high school, middle school?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's, a, you know, 20 years now almost, is that they changed the law in 1986. But the regular tax rates have come down as recently as 2003, 2001, before that, and several times over the 20 years. So individuals' regular tax rate, the rate that you compute when you just go to the regular tax tables, has gone down several times, and that stinking AMT stays right there. And what we're finding this year, as we have for the last 6 or 7 years, is more and more of our clients are dropping into the AMT. They're not getting the tax cut that the last couple of reductions were supposed to give them. I'm quick to point out that it still is saving people some money. If your regular tax last year was, let's say, $30,000, and your regular tax this year dropped down to $28,000, but the AMT nicks you at $29,000, you're still paying less tax, Jim.
Stay, hold on to that thought. We're going to come back, talk a little bit more about AMT. I've got a couple of questions for Doug. And then we're going to talk about electronic filing, which is a big deal this year, bigger this year than even last year. Tintail, here's Hart to take us out. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Doug Stives, the resident CPA of our Brain Trust. He's senior partner with the Kirchin Company, and that's Kirchin, CURCHIN.com. That's the website, and it's not your grandfather's website, folks. Not your grandfather's CPA's website, I should say. And so check that out. Doug, when's the book coming out?
Your book or mine?
Your book.
Well, I keep saying I'm going to quit and write a book.
You can't quit to write a book. You just got to write it.
Don't you think that would be I would
buy that book. I'll help you. I'll help you write. I'll help you with that book. You need to get that one out.
True Confessions from a New Jersey CPA.
There's your title. There's your title.
Yeah.
Okay, we're talking about it for now. We're talking about alternative minimum tax, and folks, as you may remember, this was a law that was passed back in the 80s when there were a lot of tax loopholes to keep people from avoiding tax through tax breaks, tax shelters, and things like that. And so they actually came up with this alternative minimum tax. But then they did away with all the loopholes, but they didn't do away with the AMT. And the problem is, though, is that it's not indexed, is it, Doug?
No, not at all.
So more and more, as incomes rise, more and more people are getting up into this alternative minimum tax, which the things that it was designed to fix aren't even a problem anymore. It'd be like you being completely healed. It'd be like you taking medicine for a disease, Doug,
right.
and it having horrible side effects, but you needed to heal the disease, and it did it. And instead of stopping the medicine, you keep taking the medicine and keep having the side effects.
Well, I think you could go even further with it. I'll become addicted to that medicine, and that's what the Congress.
Oh, yeah.
They're addicted to the revenue that ANT produced. I mean, the president's own commission on taxation last year, when they were asked how to maybe make the tax system fairer, said, well, the first thing you got to do is get rid of AMT.
Yep.
And Congress said, well, that's out of the question because it raises too much money. So it's not going anywhere, Jim.
Even though it's an evil tax. All taxes are bad,
well,
but it's an evil tax. But how do we start getting the idea that we might be bumping into AMT? What is the example that you would use?
Well, the tip-off is if you have a lot of tax deductions on your return. On your individual return, you're allowed to deduct your state and local income tax and your property taxes, which in my part of the world up here, the taxes are income taxes and the property taxes are just ridiculously high. So that any one of my clients living here in New Jersey that makes over $100,000 and owns a home and pays property taxes and pays income taxes is more likely than not going to get hit with AMT.
What percentage of your clients do you say pay AMT?
This year we're going to creep over 50%, Jim.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's just, you know, typical middle-class taxpayers that are going from month to month here in New Jersey, spending a ton of dough just to live here, and they're paying AMT. Other triggers are somebody with a lot of kids, because your dependency exemptions go away in AMT, or what we call high miscellaneous deductions. If you have someone managing a portfolio and you're paying them $20,000 or $30,000 a year, those fees are not allowed for AMT, or large capital gain, Jim.
What if your company had a big loss and you're an S or something or an LLC and it passes through to you? What about that?
That would probably not trigger AMT because, you know, that loss is deductible
right. With
some adjustments, but is deductible for AMT.
Okay.
Not a problem there.
All right. Let's move over and talk about electronic filing in the minute or so we have left.
Well, it's here. It's highly recommended. What it does is it speeds up your refund, or even if you owe tax, we still recommend and do electronic filing for almost all of our clients now. Because then you still don't have to pay the tax until April the 15th. In fact, you can even arrange to have an electronic debit come out of your account on exactly April 15th. It eases the pain of just minor errors. If I try to put somebody's tax return electronically through today and say I transpose two digits in their Social Security number, it won't go through. It'll come back and say,
right.
Doug, you didn't give us the right SSN.
How much electronic filing is your firm doing?
We're going to reach about 85% this year, which is over 1,000 returns.
That's great.
It's saving us money. It's saving us time. And it's
are you doing business returns electronically too?
We're getting into that. I mean, if it's part of a 1040, yes. If it's a standalone corporation, we're only getting into a few of those.
When will individuals be filing 100% on electronically?
Well, the original date was this year, but Congress has kind of backed off on that.
Right.
Industry is doing it really voluntarily.
IRS.gov, can we find out more about electronic filing there?
Yes. In fact, if you're a low-end, you know, you got a simple return to do for your kids or for yourself, go to IRS.gov and put in electronic filing or what they call free file, and it'll lead you to a website that'll let you do it yourself.
And if you're a small business owner, hire a CPA firm. It could be the difference in failure and success. Thanks, Doug, for being here. Good job.
Thank you, Jim.
See you next time. Doug Stives, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.